We are really grateful that you would come this morning. I'm going to step away. If you can't hear me, please raise your hand or something. My voice is not the loudest. And this, I noticed this is right over me, so just raise your hand if I'm not speaking loud enough. A few months ago, we received a call from Bob Potter asking us if we would do a workshop at this conference. And I said, well, I'll pray about that. And I said, what do you want us to lead the workshop on? He said, well, whatever you want to. I thought, wow, got an open field here. But as I prayed, you know, I told the Lord, I thought, I really want to be able to share something that has made a difference in my life. Something that isn't just, okay, I have opened up my Bible and studied this topic and going to present it. I told the Lord, I thought, Lord, I want to be able to share with my heart conviction some things with other people that might be a great help. And as I prayed, this was the topic that came up, and I talked to Valerie, and she was in agreement in every way. I love Ezra 7:10, where Ezra set his heart to study the scriptures and to practice it and then to teach it. So I thought, Valerie and I have been studying this, and God has led us along a little path of learning in spiritual warfare that has been a great help to us in our walk with God. So by grace, we're just going to share some of those thoughts with you. And you notice the workshop said the ABCs of spiritual warfare, because we're going to give you the basics, just the basic stuff on it, but things that have been really have been a help to you. Little way of introduction of myself. Whoops, there's another man wanting to come to this workshop, you know. I told Bob, he said, now, Loretta, can I come to the workshop? And I said, yep, if you want to put a dress on, it's okay with me. Don't care, mind at all. Bob chose not to come this morning. He said, purse? I said, no, dress. So, anyway, as a little introduction to myself, and Valerie, I'll let you tell about yourself later. I became a Christian when I attended Iowa State University through the ministry of the Navigators, and I had the great privilege of being discipled by someone that cared about my life and helped me grow up in the faith, and I'm so grateful for that. I was on staff for several years with the Navigators and moved and left, and then I've moved to Oklahoma City, where Valerie and I are involved in a discipleship ministry here in the city with women, and that's enough. That's enough as far as introduction. But we really want, I know a workshop means that you guys are involved too. I love workshops. That means you have to be involved. So I'm going to have you stand. And I want you, this morning, we're going to share with you, I'm going to pass this out, and just as a way of introducing yourself to one another, we're going to read these statements of truth about who we are. We're just not an ordinary group of women that are here together. We are princesses. Do you know that? You're a princess this morning. And we're going to proclaim these things out loud. This is truth about each of us. You can just pass that around. We just like to do it as we begin a workshop. This is who we are. This is who we really are this morning. So, everyone got one? You like to read? You know, we're participating in this workshop, so I want you to read along with me. This is something that I wish years ago I would have had in my hands to read and read and read and believe these truths about who I was. Who I am in Christ. If you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, these are truths about you. What we're going to do is we're going to read the lies that we believe. The enemy of our souls is always wanting us to believe a lie, some lie about who we are. So we're going to renounce the lie. That means just, I reject that this morning. In this workshop today, I'm rejecting that lie, and I'm going to believe this truth about this is who I am. So let's read it out loud. Will you follow on? We're not going to read the references, just the statements of truth, okay? I renounce the lie that I'm rejected, unloved, dirty, or shameful, because in Christ I'm completely accepted. God says that I am God's child. I am Christ's friend. I have been justified. I'm united with the Lord, and I'm one spirit with Him. I have been bought with a price. I belong to God. I'm a member of Christ's body. I am a saint, a holy one. I have been adopted as God's child. I have direct access to God through the Holy Spirit. I have been redeemed and forgiven of all my sins. I am complete in Christ. I renounce the lie that I am guilty, unprotected, alone, or abandoned, because in Christ I am totally secure. God says, I am free from error, from condemnation. I am assured that all things work together for good. I am free from any condemning charges against me. I cannot be separated from the love of God. I have been established, anointed, and sealed by God. I am confident that the good work that God has begun in me will be perfected. I am a citizen of heaven. I am hidden with Christ in God. I have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. I can find grace and mercy to help in time of need. I am born of God, and the evil one cannot touch me. I renounce the lie that I am worthless, inadequate, helpless, or hopeless, because in Christ I am deeply significant. I am the salt in the earth and the light of the world. I am a branch of the true vine, Jesus, a channel of His life. I've been chosen and appointed by God to bear fruit. I'm a personal, spirit-empowered witness of Christ. I am a temple of God. I'm a minister of reconciliation. I am God's co-worker. I am seated with Christ in the heavenly realm. I am God's workmanship, created for good works. I may approach God with freedom and confidence. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I am not the great I am, but by the God. Let's say that again and read it. This is really the truth, okay? I am not the great I am, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. Isn't it hallelujah? And I want you to still standing there. I want you to get to know somebody next to you. But this is how I want you to do that. We really believe that you are princesses, you know. We really believe this is an important message to proclaim to the whole world. And I want you to take one of these. Valerie, are you passing? Just take one. I want you to introduce yourself to the person next. Not if you don't, if you know the person next to you, find somebody else. But now this is what you need to do when you get your little crown, okay? Your little. We have to start these workshops right, don't we? I want you to introduce yourself to that somebody around you that you don't know. Just say your name only. I know you're a group of women, and this could go on and on, but I want you to say. Do you know? No, you can't put it on yourself. Your friend has to put it on you and say, you're a princess. Okay? Introduce yourself. You put it. Okay, that should be enough. Could I get your attention? I like to look at you, but thank you. I know I'm a princess. I've said these things. I am this. I know I always get in trouble when I give women this much time because it takes us, you know, we do. So we really wanted to just look out over you princesses and knowing who we're delivering this to. And one thing that we have really found true, we have gone, by God's mercy, Valerie and I have been able to go to a number of different countries and share with women. And one thing that we have found, it's universal. It really is universal. No matter where you go, you find princesses. But they always love chocolate. You know, we went to Honduras this year and in India, and no matter where you go in the world, women love chocolate. So we thought, we just wanted to give you a little chocolate this morning, you princess. So you wonder what on earth does this have to do with spiritual warfare? Well, the truths that you read and proclaimed Yeah, we need to try to share with everybody. So princesses have a way of doing it. We thought we better get the finest chocolate, too. We've got some Ghirardelli for you. So anyway, you know, a guy wouldn't love this workshop as much as a woman would. He just wouldn't appreciate it. When I mention the words spiritual warfare, what are some things that come to your mind? Just briefly, what comes to your mind? What do you think of? Attack. Satan and demons. What are some? Excuse me. Winning when you're tempted. Conflict. Good. The armor. Anything else that comes to your mind?
Condemnation.
Wouldn't you like to know what that meant? Explain a little bit what you say when you say that,
well,
Jerry.
Well, sort of thoughts come to your mind, accusing thoughts, right, that you know don't have God's forgiveness.
Right. That's great. I'm glad I asked. So, any other thoughts come to your mind?
Discouragement.
Expand a bit on that, Sandra. Good, good. Well, that a lot of times, you know, people don't like to talk about spiritual warfare. I think our experience has been with women anyway, and I'm speaking mainly from women because that's where we minister the most. I don't want to talk about spiritual warfare because if I don't talk about it, I won't be involved in it. And nothing will happen to me, you know, and I do not want to talk about it. I do not want to study it. I just leave me alone about this subject. A lot of times we find many women feel that way. That's not unusual. But, you know, my experience the last few years has been just the opposite of that. The more I've understood about spiritual warfare, the more confident I have become in who I am in Christ. The more I have fallen in love with Jesus Christ, and I worship him more today because God has taken me on this path the last few years. So I encourage you, you have nothing to be afraid of. There is no fear in studying spiritual warfare if you realize the truth of the scriptures. So what we want to do this morning is just take you through a few things, just very basic things of warfare, and then Valerie's going to come and we're going to do a little more practical application of how we can stand firm in our faith and take our thoughts captive, because that's a major part of it. A lot of you might think, well, I don't know anything about spiritual warfare, and it doesn't affect me. So I want to ask you a few questions this morning. Have you ever considered maybe a besetting sin or some unresolved conflict in your life as any way being related to spiritual warfare? I'm going to just let you think about these questions. Or just say, you're just an ordinary woman, you know. I love God. I go to church. I have just normal conflicts in life and struggles like everybody else. But even using my good biblical common sense, there are some things that happen that I can't explain. Some examples of that might be, maybe you have a relationship with a good friend. It might be your husband. Might be one of your kids. I don't know. Just a relationship. That relationship has always been very good. And all of a sudden, you see that relationship turning kind of south, going amiss, and you have no idea what to do. You have no idea where it came from, what it's about. Or maybe it's in your church. Maybe you go to a church that you have seen God use this church over and over. It's just been blessed by God. And all of a sudden, this controversy starts in your church, and you think, nobody knows where it started. Nobody really can pinpoint what it is, what the issue was. Or another thing I think often we can feel is, do you wake up some morning and you're feeling very oppressed? You know, oppression over you, or you feel very depressed? Now, you look at your life and you think, well, it's not my hormones. I know that this month. It's not that time. But you also know there's nothing in my life that has changed. Circumstances have been basically the same. But I feel so depressed. I feel so oppressed. And when those things are amiss, do you just kind of chalk it up, kind of gut it out, and move on? Sort of moving on. You can't really move on, but you just kind of carry on, not knowing where it's coming from. Or another thing, we have really found these things. The more that we have understood, the more God brings us around people who are struggling with some of these things. They could be like, have you ever heard voices in your head? Voices that are nagging, like Jerry was mentioning, condemning. Over and over I hear, I'm unloved, I'm dumb, I'm worthless. Or have you ever felt a spiritual being in your room? You knew this is not, I don't feel good about this, but there is a spiritual some presence in my room. And it's a frightening thing to me, but I certainly can't share it with my Christian friend because they might think I'm a little wacko, you know, those type of things. Or it might be a nightmare that's just reoccurring and you always end up fearful. Some of the other things that could happen, your children could all of a sudden be very frightened and you have no idea what it is. There's all of a sudden their behavior has turned, they're scared to death of something. All of these situations we have addressed with women in the last few, probably the last year. Or maybe you've had a spiritual experience that is so confusing. You're so confused by what has gone on. You don't know what it is, but it's confusing to you. I think any of those things, there's a possibility that spiritual warfare, you're involved in a spiritual warfare. The enemy is coming against you in some way. And hopefully what we will do in the workshop is give you some explanation of that. We want you to know some ways where you can begin to keep your stand in Christ and proclaim these truths that we've just and move on in victory. That is basically the goal of this workshop. But, you know, it's going to begin by you asking God right now. I want you to pray silently to just to God and ask Him. And if you experienced any of those things that I talked about, you know what I'm talking about. Would you tell Him right now, Lord, I know what that means. Or Lord, you know, you might have come in this morning dead tired. Would you ask Him to give you strength and not to not let you be distracted? I've gone to workshops dead tired. But God, awaken me. Awaken my spirit. And then would you ask Him, Lord, will you make this workshop significant for me? You know, Valerie and I can stand here and do whatever, as much as we know how to share these truths with you. But it's your God that's going to speak to you. It's your God that's going to meet your deepest need. So we take time right now to ask Him. And then I'm going to close in prayer. Are you able to hear me above this? Okay, just raise your hand if you're not. Would you just take a few moments and talk to your Lord and your God about this? And Father, we come to you together now, and we thank you for how much you love us. Thank you for your great love for us. Would you give us a sense this morning of your love for us? Lord Jesus, we praise you for your unseen presence in our midst. You are here, and you are here to minister to us, and we are so honored by that. And we ask you, would you just take over now? Will you take over and lead this time? Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are the one that dwells within us to lead us to the truth. Will you lead us to the truth this morning? And we pray now that you will protect us, Father, through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we will hear only that which you want us to hear. Ask for your protection, and Lord, I pray for myself and for Valerie that you will help us to be very balanced and very biblical in what we share, and that you'll give us great courage. So we commit ourselves to you, and thanks very much for this time and these women. In Jesus' name, Amen. Sometimes, over the last few years, it has been a great help for me to consider. Do you have your worksheet? Did I pass that out, Mallory? We have a worksheet there. You might want to follow along with us a bit. But it has really helped me to begin understanding spiritual warfare by going back and understanding a biblical worldview. A worldview is just the way that I perceive things in the world. What is happening? And in our Western world, our worldview can be very different than what the Bible says. But I love this quote at the, just backing up a bit, this quote at the top of your page. I heard it and I love it, and I say it often, but people may not live what they profess, but they will always live what they believe. Isn't that great? People may not live what they profess, but they will always live what they believe. And I think that we can be influenced by a worldview that might not be biblical. Well, it is not biblical. But you're going to... Now, excuse my drawing here. That is a person down there if you're way off and not knowing what it is. But that's a person. But a Western worldview, what most of us grew up in, is that there's a supernatural world up here. This is where God is, and any spiritual being, anything that we know, think of as spiritual, it's the spiritual realm up here. Okay? And then down here, where people and things are, this is more the natural world, where the rules, it's where the rules of the natural rules of life, the laws of life, science, all of that. We can figure out everything from this realm down here. And there's a great gap between the two. You know, it's like something is either, okay, that's spiritual, okay, that's physical. You know, there's no in between, there's no blending together. Those two don't come together. I think we hear it all the time in church and state, you know, separation. Or we hear it in, you know, the compartmentalized life. This is, you know, this is a spiritual thing. This is a physical thing. This is a spiritual thing. This is a psychological thing. We just start separating. And God is never involved in this world down here. We figure it out. The best example I have in my own life is two years ago, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. And, you know, I started going to doctors, a whole array of doctors. You know, you're introduced to a whole new life when you have cancer, when you've had it. But I went to the doctors, and the doctors told me only one path that I could go on. And they never thought, many of them, this is not Christian doctors, all Christian doctors, some Christian doctors would say this, but God is not involved in your cancer, Loretta. It's what you need to do is you follow this path. It's kind of that natural law. This is what you do. But I thought, but I'm a Christian. And when I would tell people that, that's fine, do whatever you want. But I thought, God is a part of my life. And I struggled with this. I struggled going to doctors and listening to them where God was not a part of my solution to what I was to do. But it helped me just this spring to hear that, have that understanding. But that is the Western worldview. If you grew up in Asia, you would have a different worldview than this, but we won't talk about that this morning. But more of a biblical worldview would be there's a God up here. There is God up here. And the God that is exalted high above everything. You know, that's why I love his name, Lord God Most High. He is the only all-powerful, all-knowing, all-wise God, always present everywhere. He is God. What are some of the names you know of him? Just that exalted position. Allah, okay? What was omniscient? Anybody think? Adonai? What was the other one? Jehovah Jireh. He is the exalted one. He is high, lifted up above everything. This is our God. He's the creator and sustainer of life. So this is the realm of God. That's what the Bible tells us. Then this is the realm of angels. This is both good angels and bad angels, or fallen angels, holy angels and unholy, or fallen angels. This is in the realm of Satan and all of his demons. We have a little handout back there that can explain this more. But this is the realm of angels. This is that unseen world. But Satan is not up here. Oftentimes we can think he is up equal with God. There's this power struggle. There is no way that he is equal with God. He is down in this realm of angels. And then down here is the realm of man. Another one of my men. You've got to know that's a man. But this is the realm of man down here. And this is more what the Bible talks about. The Bible talks about this unseen world here. And, you know, some people wonder about angels. The Bible refers to angels 300 times or so in the Bible. So there is this realm. Throughout the Old and New Testament, we hear about Satan. We read about Satan. So it just helps to have a worldview. I thought, this is the truth now, just the simplicity of our God is far exalted above everything. But what I want to do is run through some of these, just five, with this in mind, just run through five basic truths about spiritual warfare. I have them listed on there. I hope you can follow along. Tell me if I lose you or you can't follow. But there is an invisible world. The invisible world is just as real and as visible as the visible world. In both the New and the Old Testaments, we read about this. 2 Kings 6, 15 through 19, that's the story of Elisha. Remember when they had a hostile army coming against them, and Elisha prays that his servant, that God would open his eyes to see this invisible army, a host of angels that were protecting them. In Daniel 10, an angel reveals to Daniel that the battle that he has been waging. Ephesians 6:12 says that our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Our struggle is not down here with people and circumstances and organizations, whatever. We can make it that, but so much of our conflict is in the spiritual realm, where there are rulers and powers. This is again according to Ephesians 6:12. Rulers, powers, world forces of darkness, and spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly realm. That's what's going on in that realm. The second point is that we're involved in this invisible war. You and I are involved in this invisible war. Not only is there an invisible world, but that world is in the midst of an invisible conflict. It's very real, it's serious, and it has ultimate consequences. We are soldiers in this battle. We were born in the middle of it, whether we like it or not. I thought, I don't want to be here. We are. You know, we are involved in that. That isn't really comforting news, but it's truth. And that war, this invisible war, is because Satan, over here, I'm going to make him dark. Satan, as we know, he's jealous of God. He wanted to be like God. He wants to be here. He wants to be up here. So he can't touch God. You know, God is off limits to him. But he can influence me and you. He can have a powerful influence in our life if we allow him. 2 Corinthians 10:3-5, Valerie will talk about this in a minute, but though we walk in the flesh, we do not wage war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but they are divinely powerful for the destruction of forces. We are destroying speculations and every thought, lofty thought, raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive into the obedience of Christ. 2 Corinthians 4:4, the God of this world has blinded the mind of unbelieving so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is in God's image. You know, in those two, the reason I read those two verses is because we can see where, from those two verses, Paul gives us insight of where most of the battle we're going to face, we're fighting is taking place, and that's going to be in our mind. The biggest battle you have will be in your mind. You know, so when we came to know Jesus Christ as our Savior, Satan was greatly defeated. He lost one of it. You know, the blinders were off and we saw the glory of God and we saw faith in Jesus Christ as our salvation. But, you know, there are other times that he really likes to come against us in our spiritual walk. And one, as I think Max was mentioning some of this, but have you ever tried, determined in your heart, okay, I'm going to start growing. I really want to grow. I'm going to get into that Bible study I've been off not doing for the longest time. I'm going to do that. So I think, okay, and then I start facing opposition. Have you ever tried to start a prayer meeting? Try a prayer meeting. That will really show you that there's an invisible war going on. Pray with your spouse if you're married. Try to memorize scripture. You will see there is opposition. And you can give in to that, or you can look to the Lord and stand firm in your faith. Another thing, anytime you're invading enemy territory, like you start being involved in evangelism, you walk away from here today, you're challenged by Max, you know, saying getting involved in, and the first thing you do, you find this opposition. So you can either yield to it, or you can stand firm in your faith. But that is, the enemy will do that. You expose the enemy. You start believing the truth about what God says. You will face retaliation from him. He will do that to you. anytime you break from the world, have you seen it? Have you ever watched a new Christian? I'm sure Kristen probably faced some of this as she was telling, you know, I'm going to leave the world. Then usually there's some opposition that will come. But that those are ways that the enemy will attack us. A lot of times, or retaliate, oftentimes just before a great blessing. You know, God is about ready to bless the socks off of you. You will probably have some kind of, something will come up. And it will just be the enemy trying to get a hold of your life. The third one is, our foe is formidable. The goal of Satan is to destroy God's people and to discredit the cause of Christ. He's not to be taken lightly. He's real. He's an angel, the highest of all created beings who rebelled against God out of pride. 1 Peter 5:18 tells us to be sober in spirit, to be alert, that your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. So Satan is for real. The verses I gave you there in Genesis through Revelation, we can see that Satan is for real because of the authority of God's word. The word of God says that there is, Satan is real. You see the testimony of Jesus Christ in Matthew 4, 1 through 11. He was fighting. The enemy was coming against the Lord Jesus, tempting him. So we see that he... The testimony of Jesus shows that there is a devil. The Lord Jesus talks about Satan 25 different times in the scriptures, but I love this about the Lord Jesus. He did not make the focus of his ministry the devil. He made the focus of his ministry and his life, his relationship with Jesus Christ, preaching the gospel, making disciples. That's where the focus, we need to learn from him. That's where the focus needs to be. But on the other hand, we need to acknowledge that we have an enemy that is resisting us. Number four is we must respect our foe, but not fear him. Fear is unbiblical and it's inappropriate. It's an inappropriate response in spiritual warfare. Satan is limited, and we have no need to fear him. Scripture is very clear about his agenda and his targets. And our responsibility is to become aware of his methods and his schemes and protect ourselves using God's provision. Satan, I love, you know, the scriptures says we learn so much about God through his names. Don't you love to study the names of God? I thought, I just love it. Just, we did a Bible study that was one of my favorite Bible studies ever, studying the names of God. But, you know, you can also learn a lot about Satan by studying his names, understanding what his names mean. I'm going to read through a few of these for you, but you can study on your own. There's more of them. But Satan means he's an adversary. That's in Job 1, 6 through 7. He opposes God's agenda. He works against God's plan. He violates God's character and he assaults God's people. He makes it a point to get in the way. I like that. I set out to do Bible study. He's going to make it a point to get in my way. I set out to pray. He's going to make it a point to get in my way, because he's my adversary. The devil, he's a slanderer. Devil means slanderer. That's in 1 Peter 5:8. One of his schemes will be to say false things about people and ruin their reputations. He loves to stir up false witnesses, juicy gossip, in order to discredit a servant of God. I think that's why what Max was sharing about our tongues, we need to listen up. He's a tempter in 1 Thess 3:5. He will exploit our perfectly good desires and entice us to fulfill them in artificial means. That's why, have you noticed all the good gifts God has given us, from food to rest to sex to ambition to work? Those are examples, good gifts that God has given us. The enemy, what he is going to do is try to distort those things, twist those things, so that they no longer are looking like a good gift of God. But that's what his purpose is. He's an accuser of the brethren in Revelation 12:10. He will condemn us. He points out our sins, the sins God paid for in the blood and forgiveness, And Satan will remind us of those constantly. Although I've been forgiven, he's going to remind me of those. You know, some of those might be, you're a terrible Christian. You know what? You really are. Did you know what you did? You remember what you did yesterday? You're really a rotten mother. You're a worthless person. Those are all thoughts. Those are not his voice if you feel those things. You know, God convicts us in love. But Satan will always accuse us in hatred. It'll be hatred. The Holy Spirit will use God's word. Satan will use our feelings and our memories most of the time. God will draw us close. Satan will push us away from God. He's the prince of this world. He's a master of the false system. That's in John 12:31. He'll create a school of thought that will suck us in and destroy us. You know, some of those are very, they don't look so bad either, but you know, you have to have the new watch, you have to have the new car, you have to have the new house, you have to have a thin body if you're a woman, you have to be sexy, you have to have a high-paying job in order to be satisfied. You have to have one of those things or all of those things. So he creates a school of thought and then he'll suck you into it. Lucifer, he's the morning, the son of morning or shining one. That means he's not going to come to you as this scary, scary red suit devil, you know, horns. I grew up, that's what I thought of the devil. I was shocked when I went through the study of Christian living for the first time, that Navigator series, and found out there was a real devil. I thought, you're kidding me, this can't be true. But it is. That was a shock to me. But he's not going to come to me in a real scary and ugly. Most of the time, he's going to be very winsome in the way that he brings us in. You'll be attracted to his agenda, and he'll dress up in it, and then he'll seduce you with it. The evil one in John 5:19, that Greek word means absolute corruption. Satan will influence anything he can and corrupt it and make it as evil as possible. I think in our world now we see young men and women putting bombs on their body and being blown up. You know, how much, you know where that's coming from. His deceptions are aimed ultimately at making us question God, doubt his goodness, and conclude that God does not have my best interest at heart. Satan's power is limited, though. We need to know those truths. He's a created being, therefore he does not know everything. He's not omniscient. He does not know. And he is infant. He can be resisted we can resist him. And God places limitations on him. This last point is probably the most glorious point of all. We do not fight for victory. I don't have to fight for victory. We fight from victory. That's the important distinction. Satan is a defeated foe. He's alive, but he's not well. You know, he is not well. We are victors in Christ. The crucifixion, the resurrection, and the ascension of Jesus Christ has won for us everything we need in battle. I've just given you several. There are several. I need to move along here. My greatest fear, I wouldn't give Valerie time, and I think I'm accomplishing my greatest fear here. So I'm going to... Yeah, you do. Anyway, just some of those verses, they're just really wonderful to go over, but it's just so important, I think, in our victory of understanding what Jesus Christ did. I think this is what makes it so wonderful. If you understand his death, his burial, his resurrection, you fight from a point of victory. And the way that we're going to win that victory is understanding who we are in Christ. Those steps that I just had, I need to keep going back. That is the truth. That is how I'm going to fight this battle, believing in Jesus Christ and where he has put me. The person of the Holy Spirit, putting on the whole armor of God. I know you study a lot about the armor of God, so that's why we weren't going to cover it a lot today. But also prayer. Prayer needs to be a vital part of my life. I'm going to pass out this one final illustration. Lent Valerie, would you give the... I know I breezed along here, but I just thought those 5 points, if you begin to understand them, they will really... not the pack.
They have this one.
Oh, you have that. Oh, good. Valerie is always ahead of me. She is one great girl. Let me share, you know, this is, as we talked about these two realms, the Western worldview, more of a biblical worldview, but this is how, if you look at this sheet and study the sheet, this is a wonderful illustration to me. But this is a biblical worldview of the spiritual warfare. I'll just briefly go over it with you. Up here at the top, you see God. God is up here, and he's on his throne. That's his throne. And next to him is the Lord Jesus Christ at God's right hand. He's there. If you read, you know, the best passages I know on warfare is understanding Ephesians. We often turn to Ephesians 6, but you need to meditate and study and memorize Ephesians 1 and 2, because that tells us who we are. And we, if we have trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior, we are now seated with Christ in the heavenlies. That's where I'm at. Today, that's where you're at. What you proclaim today is you're sitting in the heavenlies with the Lord Jesus. The way that God wants to communicate to me, he will, through his Holy Spirit, he will take his word. He wants a relationship with me. See, those arrows move both ways. He gives me a relationship with. He has ministering angels, and they minister to me. I'm not to look. The arrows do not go up, they go down. God ministers to me through his angels. Over here you have Satan. Satan's main tactic will always be deception. He will always try to deceive you. He is deceiving the minds of the unbelievers. That's why prayer is vital in our evangelism. We need to pray. But he will tempt me. He will try to tempt me or attack me. See, that arrow will come down here. And I can, when that happens, I can remain a victim down here. I can be a victim of the enemy's attacks. Or I can become a victor up here as I stand firm in my faith. You know, I put on the whole armor of God. I claim what Jesus Christ has done for me in his death and burial and resurrection. I can choose those truths because it becomes not a power struggle. It's a truth struggle. Am I going to choose the truth, or am I going to remain in these feelings and these memories and all of that that I have down here? And then he will defeat me. Does that sort of make sense? If you study this, I love this chart. The more I read it, study it, and look at it, it just helps me so much because this is where the victory is at. It's not in what I can do. It's not in my self-righteousness. It's in Jesus Christ. Valerie, move on.
Grew up in Indiana. I live in Oklahoma. I was a former crusader, so I could relate to Kristen in a lot of ways. And I am just learning again about my little part of it, and that's taking charge of your thinking. I have a handout I'm going to give you on the way out, so just relax. You don't have to take notes. I just want you to try to relate to what I'm going to be sharing. Again, as Loretta has shared, the battlefield is in our mind. These battles determine how each of us live every day. If I had, I faced a battle as I was coming here. I bet, you know, as Loretta shared, I bet most of you have too. You know, it was a battle of, you know, let Loretta do the whole thing. Because really, I mean, she can do this frontwards and backwards. Or, you know, Sherry Jordan, or, you know, why in the world did I say I would do this? And, boy, yeah, you're right. You know, you're just not a very good communicator, you know. And I was having these, I thought, now where did that thought come? I wasn't thinking that thought. And then I thought, you know, jeepers, these ladies, they know so much more than I do. Why, you know, and I was just, pretty soon, you know, I'm walking like this, you know. And then I stopped and I thought, oh, wait a minute. There's a battle going on here. These are thoughts that I'm having. Now let's stop and think. Are these thoughts from God? Or are they from the world, my flesh, or the devil? Those are my enemies. And when I stopped and I thought, well, God has asked me to do this. I prayed about it. He led me to do it. Thank you, Father. That's the truth. And then I thought about my feelings. I thought, you know, my feelings are not my authority. My thoughts are not my authority. God is my authority. God led me to do this. So I'm going to trust him with this. God doesn't beat me down. God isn't saying, oh, you're just not as good as Judy. You're not as good as, you know, Sandra. He doesn't do that. He doesn't compare me with other people. So that thought that flooded my mind was a lie. So as I'm coming in, pretty soon I'm straightening up because I began to believe truth. And, of course, my topic, I just think he wanted to give me an illustration on the way in to give you. The battle is here. So I had a decision to make. If I chose to believe the lies, I think I would have frozen, I would have started crying, I would have run out of the room and said, Loretta, take over. You know, if I had followed that path, if I had believed those things. So it really changed how I lived, you know, today, because I chose the truth. as Loretta's already shared, the enemy blinds the unbelievers, and he also wants to, from the glory of Christ, and he also does that to believers in that he doesn't want us to believe the right things about God, the truths about God. He wants to mar the picture of who God really is. So, again, what he was trying to do to me on the way in was, you know, God's really not trustworthy. You can't trust him with what you share. You can't trust him with his work in the girl, in the ladies' lives in here. You know, I was being fed with that. So, anyway, I want you to look at Loretta hand out those verses. Those verses I gave you, too. Anyway, 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. I'm just going to read it. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh. What does that tell you right there, just from what I read? What does that tell you about the war that we're in, the spiritual warfare? For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh. What does that tell you? Okay. Weapons are from God?
Supernatural.
Okay. Just that phrase. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh. Supernatural, they're from God. What does it tell you about the war? What? Okay. 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 It's not of the flesh, is it? It's not something we can see. Okay. Okay. May not understand it. Like, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. Do you have fortresses around your house? Did you see any coming in to the church? Do you have any? What are we talking about? Destruction of fortresses. What are these? And why do we need to destroy them? What are these fortresses? Okay. Your own will sometimes is a fortress. Pardon? Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. And whatever those fortresses are, it says that we have weapons that are divinely powerful. So that means they're not weapons of our flesh. They're not weapons of our will. I will go up there and I will stand and I will do my best and I will, you know, I will not faint. I will not... You know, they're divinely powerful. That means they're from God. Sometimes I think we, in the Christian life, don't you try to do things in your own efforts? And the enemy loves it. These things are divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. What is that? What are speculations? What is a speculation and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God? What is that? What's a speculation?
You just start imagining something that may never even happen.
Okay. Something that maybe you even observe or that you're thinking you might. Okay. You're guessing it. What?
The what if game.
Okay.
False teaching.
Okay. And these things are raised up against whom? God. It's against God. Remember, this is a spiritual battle. As Loretta was talking about, the battle is the enemy wanting to destroy the glory of God. He doesn't want God to have glory. So he wants us to think wrong thoughts about who we are, about who he is, So the knowledge of God is marred. But he says to us, God says to us, here's a battle. I'm giving you my power, my weapons, and here's what I want you to do. I want you to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Every thought? I can't do it. Every thought? How do you do that? How do you take every thought? Every thought. Okay? Every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. He says I can do it. He gives supernatural power. And now we'll go on. Just because of time, I'm going to cut to the chase. Okay. Now, what are some of the weapons we have? We'll just get down to what are the weapons you know of?
We have the gift of discernment.
Okay. How do we get that?
Studying the truth.
Aha. The Word of God. Okay? That's a powerful weapon, right? That's from God. God breathed God's Word. So as I'm in the Word, I'm going to be better know what my thoughts are. I'm going to be able to... Okay, we'll get to that. What's another weapon? Divinely powerful. Faith? What else? Prayer? Okay. Well, the Holy Spirit lives within. That's good. Letting Him control us. Prayer. And you can turn to Ephesians 6 or the list of verses I gave you. You know, it talks about hiding behind the armor. I mean, that's not a weapon, but you hide behind Christ. You hide, you put the armor on so you're protected that way. But the sword, you know, the Word of God. Okay, I've got to... The enemy does not want us to trust God with our thoughts or to exalt God. I was thinking about, you know, Genesis 3 and 2 Corinthians 11:3, you know, where Paul says, I'm afraid, lest as, you know, just as Eve was, how's that go? Deceived, you know, to keep you from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. And I was thinking, and in Genesis 3, see, the enemy wants us to think that we're becoming like God. Wow, if I do that, I'll be like God. You know, if I would just do such and such, then I would be a wonderful Christian, and I would be more like Christ, and I would be... And he gets us going on this path of, again, the flesh and self and self and self. It's a counterfeit way. But, and it's this exalting self and pride. But God wants us to let Christ live his life through us. And he wants us to be like God, of course. I mean, in our character. So, anyway, that's just... The enemy does not want us to trust God with our thoughts or exalt God. He wants us, eventually, to exalt ourselves. And it's very subtle sometimes. Thoughts have direct bearing on all of our other functions. What we think on causes a reaction of our will, our body, or our emotions. Our thinking will also begin a process that will lead to other thoughts. K. Arthur says, the acceptance of a wrong thought can then lead to a wrong action, which creates an appetite, which becomes a weakness, which becomes a habit, which brings oppression from the enemy. And I think the weakness or the habit, those are the fortresses that are built. But it starts with the acceptance of a wrong thought. That's why God wants us to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Your thoughts may not be caused by you, the flesh, the world, the devil. And just because you have that thought doesn't mean it's a sin, does it? Because Jesus, the devil spoke to him. Our thoughts are not authoritative. Our feelings are not authoritative. We must learn to reject wrong thoughts. Okay, that's what Jerry was talking about. We need to stop and look at them. When a thought is not in harmony with the Bible and is not what you desire or believe, then you have not originated that thought. It has come from some other source. You learn to monitor your thought life. If you have a question as to the origin of the thought, ask yourself, what effect that thought has on me? This has helped me so much. Besides, now wait a minute, is this going to glorify God? Am I thinking right thoughts about God here? You stop and you look at it. Does this edify me, this thought? Or am I being beaten down? Condemnation, discouragement. You know, am I edifying someone with this thought? Or am I beating them down and condemning them? That is not from God. I have these questions somewhere else, so you don't have to write these down, unless you want to. Does it upset you? Does this thought just, does it confuse me? Is it distracting me? Is it condemning me? Is it lustful? Is it really bizarre? You evaluate your thinking. I think Max shared this earlier, Philippians 4:8. God is really, I've been using this so much, and that's on your sheet there. But I stop and I think, when I feel myself a little bit in turmoil, and I'm using the word feeling, and I'm feeling in turmoil, and my thinking is a little off, and I find myself, say, a little angry, maybe with Loretta. She did something I didn't like. And, you go through, well, Lord, I forgive her, I confess that. And then you just still feel. You're just feeling a turmoil over something. You take Philippians 4:8, and you think, is this thought true? Well, maybe a little bit, but no, not completely. Well, is this thought honorable? No, that wasn't an honorable thought. Is this thought right? Okay, no. Is this thought pure? Is this thought lovely? Is this thought excellent? And this is the killer. Is this thought worthy of praise? Would I take this thought that I just had toward my pastor? Oh my gosh, a wrong thought about my pastor. Is this thought something I can go to him and is it worthy of praise to God and then to this person? Boy, I tell you, God has used this so much for me to evaluate my thinking over and over again. And even against myself, when the enemy comes, the world, I stop and say, wait a minute, is this thought, and I'll go through that whole list, if that thought doesn't line up with Scripture, then that thought is not from God. And what do you need to do with that thought? What do you do? You get rid of it. Well, but the thought comes and maybe I haven't sinned. Maybe I haven't. If I kept dwelling on it and I let that thought, matter of fact, bring forth actions, and then I start telling you about, do you know what Loretta did before I came here? Let me tell you. You know, and then pretty soon, I'm, or toward my pastor. Boy, let me tell you about what he looked at me like this. Hi, Val. And walked on by. I could make up this whole story. Pretty soon, there's a fortress that's been built. God is not honored. I haven't edified anybody. So that would become a sin at that point. But I can stop that thought dead. And I reject it. Now, in whose power do I reject it? In mine? In the flesh? God's. And I'm a child of God. I don't have my crown on, but I'm a princess as much as you are, Gloria. I'm a child of God. I stand behind the power. In the name of Jesus Christ, I reject that thought. Now, I may know it came from the flesh, the world, or the devil. I may sense, it's there. I stop it cold, and I say, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I take charge of my thinking, and I reject that thought of envy. I reject that thought of whatever it is. I want my pastor to like me better than some. I reject that thought of not, whatever it is, reject it. And I bring all my thinking in subjection to the Lord Jesus Christ. When I take my thoughts captive, it's as if I'm taking it to Jesus and saying, here it is. I don't want it. Would you get rid of it? I know this isn't bringing glory to you. As a matter of fact, it's a horrible thought about you and about one of your children and about even someone you've created. So I take it, I drop it at his feet, at the foot of the cross, And Lord, I'm going to choose to believe truth. I'm going to choose. And I can't tell you the number of times that either I'll feel oppressed, I'm feeling, remember my feelings don't have any authority, my thoughts have no authority. It's only God's word that has authority. So I'll take those things and I'll dump them at the feet of Jesus. And I am amazed at the peace that will come and the freedom that will come. Recently, my mom, and she's still not doing well at all, mentally, physically, she's not doing well. And you know, I was going on this retreat, and I was paralyzed by it. All I could think about, oh my gosh, my mom might die while I'm gone. Oh my, you know, what am I going to do? How am I going to get to Indiana? You know, and I thought, hey, this is paralyzing me. These are controlling me so much that I can't care about anybody else. I can't even praise you, Lord. This is so filled my mind with anxiety. You know what I did? I stopped. I evaluated it. I thought, Lord, I'm not praising you. I started praising God that he is, you know, Lord, if you want to sustain her, you will. Thank you that you're sustaining me. I just start praising him. I praised him. I rejected those thoughts of anxiety. Thought, yes, my mom may die while I'm gone. Father, you're in control. I praise you, you're in control. I kept praising him and praising him until that oppression, that anxiety left me. Now, circumstances didn't change. My mom was still sick. I didn't hear any different news. But my thoughts changed. And God was glorified because I was trusting him. Before, what was I trusting? You know, do you do that? Do you have anything right now in your life? Right now, I want you to write down a situation. Think of a situation. Close your eyes if you need to. Right now in your life where you know that the enemy is bombarding you. The enemy, either the devil, the world, or your flesh. Right now there's a situation that you are so uptight, or you know that there are thoughts that are glorifying God. Just something. Some situation. And just write down some of your negative thinking or how you're feeling about it. Okay, this is the workshop. Now, you may not have anything right now, but think of a situation that's been bothering you. Think of something, boy, that you know that they've just been negative. You know that somebody says stinking thinking. You've had negative thinking and you have not been able to be free from it. And you just feel kind of justified by it. And I want you to look at that. I'm going to give you this. I want you to look at that and remember your feelings are not your authority. Your thoughts are not your authority. But look at that and see if what you wrote down is truth. And you may be able to look at that right away and see the lies in it, but you may need somebody else to say, would you help me? Here's how I'm feeling. Here's how I'm thinking. I'm in turmoil over this. I need help to see the truth in it. But if you need to, go to God's word. If nothing comes to your mind right away, the truth doesn't come to your mind. Remember, it's the truth. So you look at the feelings, you look at those three things, and then you say, is this truth? For instance, I will never be any different. That's how I'm feeling. Debbie, I'm just... not in this area. Deb, I'll never be any different. That's how I'm feeling. Is that truth? But doggone it, those feelings seem so real, don't they? It's a lie. God's word says, I can change. Okay, here's another one. God is not concerned about what happens to me. Or my mom. Jeepers. God's not concerned, or my mom wouldn't be going through this. Have you ever felt that way, thought that way? Boy, if God was really concerned about me, then he wouldn't have given her that big, beautiful boat. He would have given it to me. You look at that, or do you? You look at that and you think, is that true about God? The truth about God, you go to God's Word, anywhere in God's Word, and you'll see God is very concerned about what is happening to me. That's the truth. So you take that thought, you evaluate it against God's Word, and you think, by George, that is a lie, and I'm going to reject it. And then I'm going to turn to God and praise Him. And you may not have a truth, you know, you just know that that's a lie, but immediately start praising God, and let me tell you, the enemy will flee. How about this? There is no hope. I have no hope in this. Let's take my mom again. I have no hope. My mom's going to die. Oh, my gosh. You know, losing one of my best friends. My mom's going to die. I have no hope. Is that truth? That's how I'm feeling. That's a thought. The truth is there is hope because my God is a God of hope. That's the truth. Yes, my mom's going to die. But God is a God of hope. I do have hope. Does that make sense? When you look at your list, I'm sorry we didn't give you more time to do it, but right away, did any of you want to share? Be very vulnerable. But a lie, a feeling, a thought that came up? Anybody? I won't put your name on. Does this make sense, what we've shared? We know it's ABCs, but... Yeah.
In the past, and he was getting pretty far away from God, and I was very worried about him. And I was driving one day, and thoughts came to my mind, you're a terrible mother. Look at your son. You know, your prayers aren't effective, and it just isn't working. And I felt myself just going down this spiral of my emotions. And all of a sudden, God in His graciousness just brought words to my mind very quickly. And the words were, that's not my voice. Just four words like that. And it startled me, and I knew immediately what was happening. And I said, thank you, Lord, I don't have to listen to that. I remember I hit the steering wheel with my head.
And example, she said it in the authority that she has as a believer. You are seated in the heavenlies. I do not have to listen to that. I reject it as a child of God. Wonderful example. How did she know it was the voice of God? Jerry has been meditating, memorizing the Word of God. To me, that is a tremendous motivation to be in the Word, to be in prayer, to have people praying for me. I know our time is up. But do you have any questions or any comments? Hopefully it's been a help. There's a whole, everything that we've talked about is back there on the handouts. This other thing I copied off from this lady that's been helpful to us, the truths I believe about God, and I love this. On Monday, she put down, this is what she thinks about on Monday. I'm important to God. God wants to help me today, and I'm not alone. On Tuesday, God is on my side. God is always fair. You know, she goes on every day. The things that you're struggling with, the weaknesses, the fortresses that you just ask the Holy Spirit, what are areas of my life, fortresses in my life? The enemy is a deceiver. And He does not want us to live in victory. That's really good. That's good. Yeah. It's good. And I found, when I don't necessarily have a verse that comes, if I will start praising God. Because again, going back to the war, the warfare, it is to mar the glory of God. So by George, I'm going to reject it. Love you, Jesus. I praise you. And I think of everything under the sun that I praise him for. And again, even though I may not have one verse to fill in that. Yeah. Thank you.
And it changes
your feelings. Yes, it does. But you know, if it doesn't right away, I just keep at it. Holy One, we come before you, and I just thank you for each of these sisters. Thank you, Lord, that you have allowed us to be a part of this battle. And you have allowed us to bring glory to your name. And I know that each of us, Lord, in every thought we have, we want to exalt you. Not ourselves, but you. And I thank you. Thank you for what you've trusted us with. Thank you again for your word. I pray that we'd be women of your word and women of prayer, and we would never stop learning and growing in grace. I ask that you bless these women in Jesus' name. Amen.